As I was praying on this gospel kind of throughout the week, I realized what a beautiful story it is about the faith that saves. Jesus finishes the gospel saying, "Stand up and go, your faith has saved you." And there's a whole itinerary, I think, if we take it to prayer and study, to really realize what's going on in this gospel. So it begins with Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's entering a village. 10 lepers meet him. "Lord, did Jesus, Master, have pity on us?" Now, one of them we know was a Samaritan. I'm presuming that means the other 9 were Jewish. We don't know that for a fact. But think about, what does it mean, or what did it mean to be a leper? We hear about lepers in sacred scripture, but what did it mean? It meant that you were a complete outcast. What it meant was, because it was considered to be contagious, a disease that wasn't very highly understood. Actually, I guess there are any number of diseases that fall under the category of leprosy, but because it was considered to be contagious, a leper had to they had to have like torn clothes on, and they had to remain at a distance, and if anyone got too close, they had to call out, "Unclean, unclean." They weren't allowed to go into any religious ceremony. They were considered to have been rejected by God. For whatever reason, probably people imputed sin to them. Well, if you hadn't sinned so much, you wouldn't be a leper, so obviously something happened. So there's this whole existential drama that was happening if you were a leper. That means that these are people that were looked down on by the rest of society, and probably in their own hearts they felt the angst of feeling, "I have been separated from God. How can I get back in God's good graces?" And then there's also the whole physical dimension. It is an agonizing existence. Body parts start to fall off. Things stop working. There's clearly going to be a lot of pain involved while the process is taking place. And you know that sooner or later you're going to die. Maybe a couple of years down the road, but soon, within a relatively short amount of time, you're going to die of this disease. I've only once, well, 2 different occasions, but it was the same guy. Only once have I really met a leper. And this guy was clean in the sense that he must have found whatever medication that they knew would stop it. So he'd already had, the effects had already gotten to him. His face was already disformed, his nose was kind of half missing, and his fingers were all kind of, you know. But he clearly, somewhere along the line, had received medical attention, and that it had stopped, but it had left him permanently disfigured, and he was a beggar in the Philippines. But I can imagine, you know, if the guy was stinking, and what an existence that would be. Now, on top of that, one of these guys was a Samaritan. What does that mean? Samaritans, by the very fact that they were Samaritans, were considered by the Jewish people to be practically like lepers. They were considered to be cut off from God. They were heretics. They had abandoned the faith of their fathers. They were half-breeds. There's a whole history back during the times of the prophets, back in the time after King David, after King Solomon, when the kingdom of Israel split, and there's the northern kingdom, and then there was the southern kingdom where Jerusalem was. The southern kingdom is where, like, supposedly, quote unquote, the righteous branch of Judaism was. And in the north, what happened? They realized, well, we've created 2 kingdoms here, but the hearts of the people are always going to be in Jerusalem because that's where the temple is. So guess what? We're going to build our own temple, create our own religion, and it's got mixed up with all kinds of other heretical pagan religions. It became just this mess of a religion. And they came up with their own heretical priesthood and everything. And God was like, well, what is this about? So the Jewish people rightfully looked at the Samaritans and said, no. And they actually went one time and burned down their city and destroyed their temple and everything. So then there was this historical, for hundreds of years, tension between Samaritans and Jewish people, which is why during the times of Jesus, you know, the Good Samaritan, why was that such a scandalous story? Because Jesus says the Samaritan was the good guy, the religious leaders were the bad guys, all everyone else, and the Samaritan? Jesus has a whole history of reaching out to the Samaritans because even though they had lost their way, they were still descendants of the people of Israel. They were still descendants of 10 of those 12 tribes, and God wanted to pull them back. So this guy, who is the leper, it's almost like being twice a leper. He was not only a leper cast off from society, but within the circle of the 10, I'm guessing that the other 9 looked down on him even more. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the fact that you're a leper was already enough and everyone said, well, we're all in the same boat now. We're all like Samaritans. I don't know. So what would that do to this guy's heart then? Well, you're going to go one of two directions. Either you're going to become hardened and become, you know, angry at God and become just militant, and or you're going to become very humble and open. And clearly that this guy followed the latter path. So they're continuing on the journey. They meet Jesus. They call out, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They have faith and they are humble. There's a beauty to that. Jesus could have said, you know what? I will have mercy on you. Right now, all of you be healed. He did that many times in the Bible where he just simply says, I do want it. You know what? Be healed. Boom. Instantaneous. He didn't do that. He sent them on a journey. He said, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, if they were in, roughly speaking, somewhere between Samaria and Galilee, I don't know, somewhere, they're probably at least 30, 40, 50 miles at least from Jerusalem, which means, especially if you're not feeling good because you're a leper, there's a journey involved, okay? And as they're on the journey, the cure sets in. Now, why did Jesus say, go show yourselves to the priests? This is something that, for the first time ever, actually, which was just the other day when I was kind of praying about it, it occurred to me something new. The Samaritan. To be a Jewish person and hear, go show yourselves to the priests, that would be like if one of you guys here went to some healing service, right? And there's a lay person who has the charism of healing and they're praying with you and they say, go to St. Peter's, go to Mass, go to confession, receive the sacrament communion, and then you will be healed. Something like that, right? That would make perfect sense to us. But to the Samaritan, he wasn't a Jew. There's that history of tension between the Samaritans and the Jews. And Jesus was telling him, go to where true religion is. So this guy, and he obviously was humble enough and had enough faith that he said yes. It would be like telling me, a Catholic priest, if I went and asked for healing, go to the Greek Orthodox priest in New Jersey and have him pray over you. I would be like, my initial reaction would be, am I not in the true church? Why not go to Bishop Espaillat, for example, who's down the road in the Bronx? Why am I going to some non-Catholic? The intrinsic message would be, you're close, but you're not there. You're not really in the true church. That's what this guy would have been hearing. And as they go down the road, somewhere along the line, we know that they were cured. And only the Samaritan goes back, glorifying God in a loud voice. He falls at the feet of Jesus and thanks him. This is the moment where it says, and he was a Samaritan. Now this, to me, why did only this guy do that? Historically, when I've prayed about this, this passage always puzzled me a little bit because I say, well, clearly the Samaritan is the good guy in the parable, but I'm like, if I had been one of the other ones, I would have probably kept going. Because Jesus himself said, go to the priests and have them pray. So all they're doing is obeying what Jesus said. To me, it seems like they're doing the right thing, right? Or at least it seemed like it. So why did this guy get a different message? And I think the difference is this. When there is holiness of life, we learn to distinguish the voice of the Holy Spirit. Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. There are things that God communicates to us when we are truly men and women who pray, that without prayer, you just don't get it. And when God, I think clearly the Holy Spirit spoke to this man's heart. He went back full of humility, full of gratitude, full of joy, back to Christ. Even though Christ never said, hey, I told you to go to the temple. I told you to go to Jerusalem where the priests are and everything. Clearly this guy received an inspiration to do something different. And I think the reason it was him is because it cost him more. He had been on this journey of humility, of humiliation, of having to his own religious beliefs challenged, and having to voluntarily embrace something new. He was clearly a man who was searching and who was open. Now, here's the cool part. He comes, glorifies Jesus. Jesus says in reply, 10 were cleansed, where are the other 9? So Jesus is clearly expecting, even though I told them go to the priests, Jesus is like, where are the other 9? How come they didn't receive the same inspiration? Why were they not as open as this guy was? And then he says, stand up, your faith has saved you. Now here's the cool part, and again, this just occurred to me the other day for the first time. Does it sound like this guy obeyed Jesus when Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priests? You know what? He's the only one who really obeyed Christ. Now, he didn't realize it. None of them realized it at the time. But who is the only true high priest, if not Christ? Christ created a new priesthood that replaced the priesthood of the Jewish temple. And when this man received the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to return to Christ and give thanks, he actually was going to the priests. Christ, the one true high priest, and with him, 12 men that had been chosen by Christ to be the first priests of the Catholic Church, the first bishops, the apostles, who would share in the one true priesthood of Christ. And where do you find the priests? You find them at the temple. Well, guess what? Where is the new temple? It is Christ. So only the Samaritan, I'm not blaming anybody else because only the Holy Spirit can enlighten these things, but only the Samaritan truly fulfilled Christ's indication. Isn't that cool? So, here's where we can challenge ourselves. Every one of us has difficult circumstances in our lives where we can ask ourselves, why does God allow this? Well, I can assure you, no matter how bad you think you have it, none of you has leprosy, which, like I said, would be bad enough even if it didn't make you a social outcast. But being a leper with some horrible, degenerative, humiliating, stinky disease that makes you look like a monster, none of us has that, and none of us has that stigma of being cast off by God. And however much discrimination people in this country may think they face, I assure you, nobody in this country faces the kind of discrimination that Samaritans received from Jews and vice versa. And it was precisely because Jesus allowed this man to grow up experiencing those things that he was humble enough and that he went through this process, which was difficult, in which he didn't understand, in which he never would have chosen for himself. But how did it all end? It ended with him becoming one of Jesus' followers, him becoming cured, him becoming one of Jesus' followers, him becoming the only one, even though the other nine supposedly were supposed to know better, they were Jewish, him becoming the only one who truly understood Jesus. What an incredible journey this guy went on. And the same is true of us. If God is allowing us to go through difficult things that don't seem to make sense, it is going to be because he wants to do something similar. So, let's each one of us, instead of complaining about the things that God allows in our lives, let's each one of us give God a blank check and say, Lord, I don't get it, I wouldn't want it, but I trust that you want to do great things with the crosses that you allow me. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.